to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
We have been in a sermon series called Christ-like. Christ-like. For a little while, if you've missed any of the previous messages, you can watch them or listen to them online at our website, and we'd encourage you to do that. And the purpose of this series on Christ-like is to say, what was Christ like? And how can we be like Christ? Because God says through Paul that that is one of the primary goals God has for us, to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And so we've looked at a number of characteristics and attitudes and actions of Jesus, and how he related to God, his Father, how he related to people, the things he did, the way he did it. And we're going to be wrapping this series up next week. There were two messages I planned to preach that I'm not going to, because we've had very similar messages recently. One of the topics I had in mind was to preach that we need to be forgiving, just like Jesus was forgiving on the cross. And when I was gone on Father's Day, Brother Lynn did a great job preaching about forgiveness, so I'm not going to re-preach that. And also the fact that we need to endure, we need to not give up. And I just preached on that in March, on that series on running the race. So anyway, we're going to look at it again today, and then next Sunday we will wrap this series up, okay? But I want to talk to you for just a little bit about habits. How many of you have habits? We all do, right? I was doing a little bit of research. I've done research before, but just a couple of things. In the last couple of days, I read one article that says that people who've done studies, they say that up to 40% of everything we do or say every day is just a result of a habit. I'll be honest with you, I think it's more than that. Because a habit is basically just things that we do without thinking, because we're so used to doing them. And they can be good or they're bad, right? How many of you have some good habits? Those of you that aren't raising your hand, I'll pray for you. How many of you have some bad habits? Those of you that aren't raising your hand, you're lying. We all have both, don't we? We have good habits, we have bad habits. The thing that frustrates me is that the bad habits are so easy to start and hard to stop. But the good habits are hard to get going, and they're easy to stop. Well, that being the case, I heard about a wife who started bragging to her friend that she had finally cured her husband of the bad habit of biting his fingernails. He'd had it forever. And her friend said, "How did you cure him of that habit of biting his fingernails?" She said, "I just hide his teeth." But anyway, so there are creative ways to stop bad habits, and I'll just leave that up to you to try to figure out what those are. Now, so why are you talking about habits? We're talking about Christ-like. Have you ever thought about the fact, what habits did Jesus have? What habits did Jesus have? You know, did Jesus brush his teeth? Did Jesus wash his hands before every meal? Did Jesus say please and thank you? Did he exercise regularly? Of course, with his travel schedule and the fact that he did pretty much all of it by foot, as far as we know, that was a probably pretty good exercise schedule. But we don't know about these kind of things. I can tell you that whatever habits Jesus had, none of them was sin, because we know that Jesus never sinned. But I imagine he did have some habits. There are a couple of hints in Scripture. It does say that he went to synagogue, the place of worship, regularly. The Jewish people worshiped in the synagogue on Saturday, and that was important to him. We could do a whole sermon and message on that, but that's not the one we're going to look at today. But there is another habit that he had that I do want us to look at today that we need to also have in our lives, and that habit is time with the Father. Time with the Father. Now, let me give just a little disclaimer right here, and I often have to do this when I talk about fatherhood, Father's Day, or whatever, or some other time, and that is, I know that there are people that are out there that for you, the thought of and maybe the memory of a father is not a positive thing. And I recognize that. I acknowledge that. And I'm so sorry that that has been your experience. And I pray for you. But I don't want this message to turn you off because the whole title is Time with the Father. I want you to encourage you to think, and even those of us that have good fathers or had good fathers, I want you to think of God as our Father, that He is that good Father. He is that perfect Father. Even those who did not have a good father or a good father figure in their life, the reason why it's so painful is because you know what a father should be like. That's what I want you to think of when we think of time with the Father, that God as a good Father is someone who is there for us, someone who wants to help us, someone who wants what's best for us, someone who always has an open door and an open ear, someone who is always willing to speak into our lives, someone who is always willing to give us a hand. That's the kind of Father I'm talking about. So I want us to take a look at this idea of time with the Father. I ask you to turn to Mark 1 and Luke 5. We're going to take a look there right now. In Mark chapter 1, I want to give you a little bit of background. If you kind of look, you know, you got it open on your Bible, your digital device, whatever, and this is the very first chapter of Mark, you know, and you go to the beginning, and he introduces Jesus, and Mark is the gospel where he just jumps right in and says, Jesus is there, and here's what he did. You know, he doesn't talk about his birth and all that kind of stuff, but he talks about John the Baptist preparing the way, and then he talks about the baptism of Jesus and Jesus' temptation. Then he begins his ministry, he calls his disciples, and then by the time you get to verse 21, he's actively involved in his ministry, and he starts the comments about a very, very busy day in Jesus' life. And I would say that probably most days in Jesus' life were very, very busy, especially after he became well known and people traveled from all over the place to come and hear him teach, to hopefully receive a miracle, to partake of whatever he had to offer, wondering if this is the Jewish Messiah. But anyway, this is the beginning of a very busy day, and we see in verse 21 that he's in Capernaum, which became his headquarters. It's where Peter and his brother Andrew lived, and they go to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and Jesus is invited to teach. And so he teaches. And in the midst of that, there is a man in the synagogue service who is demon-possessed. And as a part of that experience in the synagogue service, Jesus casts the demons out and delivers the man. Well, after the synagogue service is over, Jesus and his disciples do what all of us do when we get out of church. They go to eat. It says specifically that they head off to Simon Peter's home. It's the home of Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. And when they get there, they find out that Simon's mother-in-law is very, very ill. And so Jesus heals her. And her first response is to jump up and to fix lunch. So I imagine while she's doing that, they're just sitting around relaxing, resting. It's been a very busy day already. And so they have lunch, and it gets toward the end of the day. And that's where we pick it up in Mark chapter 1. Verse 32. That evening, now remember, this is the end of the day. They get up early. They get up sunrise, maybe before sunrise. And when it comes to sunset, this is a time to relax, chill, finish up the day, and go to bed early because you get up early. And it says, that evening at sundown, they, the people of the community, they brought to him, Jesus, all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases, cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And so Jesus has had this tremendously busy day, teaching and healing and casting out demons, and goes to eat lunch, and that's even delayed because Simon Peter's mother-in-law is very sick, so he heals her, and she fixes lunch, and they're ready to wrap up the day, probably very tired, very exhausted, looking forward to some rest. And then after the sun begins to go down, because that's the end of the Sabbath. You see, the people couldn't come before then because it was their Sabbath. It was their day of rest. But once the sun went down, that was the end of the Jewish day, and the people could do whatever they wanted or needed to do. And so they all gather outside the home of Simon Peter asking for more. They need more. They need God's touch. And Jesus gives it to them. It doesn't tell us how long he was involved, but it seems to indicate there are a lot of people. And just knowing who Jesus is and the way he was like, I guarantee you he didn't rush through this. I guarantee there wasn't this long line of people that needed to be healed and delivered from demons. And he's just like, okay, boom, God touch him and then cast him out of the way. And the next, I guarantee he took time probably with each and every one, whatever time would have been appropriate. And so he ends this long day and I'm sure he was exhausted and lay down for a good night's sleep. But I want you to see what happens in the very next verse, verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Tremendously busy day, a lack of rest, and still, Jesus gets up early before even the sun gets up. And doesn't just lay in bed and say, okay, God, I want to spend some time. He gets up. He leaves the house. He probably leaves the city to go to a place where he knows he will be undisturbed, to spend time with his Father. Now let's jump over to Luke chapter 5. Totally different situation, but we see something very similar. We see Jesus in the midst of ministry, and the passage we're going to look at in Luke 5 in verses 15 and 16, immediately before that, Jesus is healing. He's healed particularly a leper here. And because he's so involved in ministry, touching so many people's lives, people are just flocking anywhere he goes. If they hear he's there, they're there too. And so we read this in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 15. It says, but now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But then verse 16, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Now it makes it sound like he deliberately chose terrible places to pray. That's not the idea it's trying to communicate. It's basically communicating that Jesus went to places where there weren't other people. He went to places where he would not be interrupted, to places where he would not be disturbed, so he could have that time with the Father. In the midst of a busy ministry, in the midst of all these people with all these needs, always willing to touch their lives, Jesus made sure he took time to spend time with his Father. Now, why did Jesus pray? That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about prayer. Why did he pray? And I would say to you that he prayed because he needed the same things that we need. Yes, Jesus was God, always had been before he came to earth, was while he was on earth, and is God now. But he had limited himself in many ways to a human body and experienced all that we as human beings experience except for sin, because he experienced temptation, but he never sinned. So he experienced weariness. He experienced hunger. He experienced sorrow. He experienced exhaustion. I mean, he falls asleep on a boat in the midst of a storm that's getting ready to flip the boat over. And so Jesus needed what we need and what we can draw from time spent with the Father, what we can draw from a time of prayer, strength, wisdom, direction, provision, and power from God. But even though he needed those, I'm sure he asked God for them and he received them from God, just like we have the privilege. I think the most important thing he needed, and can I tell you the most important thing we need, is fellowship with the Father. Just time spent with the Father. I don't know if you've ever studied this before or noticed it, but the Bible, the Gospels are full of accounts of Jesus praying. He had a habit of spending time with the Father. He didn't just teach about it often, although he did do that, but he had the habit. Let me just kind of run through really quick, and I got scriptures for each of these. I'm not going to give them to you. It'd take way too long. But the Bible says that the Gospels share how Jesus was baptized. It says that when Jesus was baptized, he immediately began to pray, and that's when the Holy Spirit came down upon him. The Bible says that when he was getting ready to choose his 12 disciples, he stayed up all night long praying. I don't know if it was God, give me wisdom, which ones you want me to pick, or God, help me, because these 12 guys are going to be a problem. Probably all of that. It says in Scripture that when there was that time that he was going away for vacation, we preached about this recently, when Jesus and the disciples were going to go away for the vacation, they went across the lake to get away from everybody, and everybody else just followed them along the shore, and they were already there when they got there. You know, and Jesus was exhausted, but he still taught them, and he fed the 5,000. You know, it says that as he took that those loaves of bread and those fish, it says that he prayed over them. He blessed them. And after the whole event was over, even more exhausted, when he's probably ready to lay down and sleep, it says that he sent his disciples in a boat back across after dismissing the people, and he went up into the mountains to pray. In other words, Jesus' thought was, I went off on vacation to get some rest, but also to spend some time with my Father. I've not gotten it yet. I'm tired, but I'm going to spend time with my Father before I get my rest. The Bible says that when he and the disciples got away for another time of retreat, right before that event where he says, who do people say that I am? And Peter had that response, you know, after they said, well, some say you're a prophet, some say you're whatever. And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It says that Jesus had gone on that trip specifically to pray. It was kind of a prayer retreat. We see that when he goes up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and he is transfigured and shown in all his glory. Why did he go up there? Was it to show his glory to these disciples so they could tell us the story later? No, it says he went up there to pray. And it was in the midst of that that Moses and Elijah showed up in all their glory, and they start talking about what was going to be happening. We know that Jesus prayed for all believers. We did a great study recently in John chapter 17, one of the longest prayers of Jesus we have recorded in Scripture, where he's praying for all of his believers then, but he prayed for us too. Jesus told Peter himself, Peter, I'm praying for you. In the context of talking about how Peter was going to deny him and basically abandon him, he says, Peter, I'm praying for you. It's going to happen. But I'm praying for you, and when you come back, when things get straightened out, he gave him some instructions, but he was praying for Peter. We see the Garden of Gethsemane as Jesus is facing the cross, and he's agonizing over what he's going to have to go through, and he's praying. And then even on the cross, we have seven specific statements recorded that Jesus made from the cross, and three of them are prayers. One of them, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The cry of desperation, feeling as if he's been abandoned. Oh God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then the final one, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. So you see, Jesus' life is full of prayer and probably much, much more than we have recorded in the Gospels. A little trivia fact here. Jesus continues to pray right now. Do you know the Bible tells us that Jesus is praying for us in heaven? He talks about it in Romans 8 and Hebrews chapter 7. So as we talk about being Christ-like, I just want to propose to you that if spending time with the Father was so important to Jesus, how much more should it be important to us? We need to make it a habit. We need to make it a habit. So let me tell you a couple things about this habit. Time with the Father should be, number one, a deliberate habit. A deliberate habit. You know, there are habits, usually bad ones, that we develop without thinking about it, right? I mean, have you ever found yourself, all of a sudden, you're doing something over and over again, it's not good for you, whether it's something you're eating or whatever, but you've gotten into some bad habits, it's not good for you, and you didn't even choose, you didn't make a deliberate choice to start doing that, it just kind of happened. Like I said, bad habits are easy to start, right? But there are habits that we develop without even thinking about it, but there are certain habits that we intentionally pursue. As I mentioned before, those are the good habits. If you want to start a good habit in your life, chances are it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to intentionally pursue that. If you know that your health needs to be better, and that's going to involve diet and exercise, both habits that are difficult to institute, you're going to have to be intentional about it. You're going to have to be intentional about it. And we see that that's the way Jesus was about spending time with his Father. It was a deliberate habit. We read in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. You know, the verbs that are used here emphasize his resolve that he's going to spend time with the Father. It says that he rose, got up out of bed very early. And he departed, and he went out to a desolate place to pray. All four of those verbs are deliberate. They're intentional. This is what I'm going to do. It was a deliberate habit. He was resolved to spend time with his Father. And you know, Jesus just kind of assumes that his followers are going to spend time with the Father also. There's some great teaching on prayer that's part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And I would encourage you, as you continue to meditate on this message this week and try to put it into practice, that sometime during your time with the Father this week, that you spend time in the first half of Matthew chapter 6 and look at what Jesus said about prayer. Because we're not going to read the whole thing this morning. But one of the things that Jesus said in verse 5, he says, and when you pray. He didn't say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. It was just assumed that those who followed him and had a relationship with him would want to cultivate their relationship with their Father. In fact, in that same teaching is where he says that we can call God our Father. God, the Almighty God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Creator of heaven and earth. We are allowed, if we have relationship with him as such, to call him Father. So he says, when you pray. And can I tell you that if you want to be Christ-like, if you want to have that in all its fullness, then if you haven't already done so, you need to develop a habit of time with the Father. But it's not going to happen by accident. You can't take comfort in the fact that, oh, I have a relationship with Jesus. And I'm not saying you don't if you don't pray as you should, because that's not what our salvation is based on, how much time we pray. Our salvation is based upon what Jesus did on the cross and our acceptance of that and our trust in that. But we can't just kind of just say, well, I'm a Christian and I prayed that prayer and I'm in relationship with God and I do these other things too and I know I should pray and I'll just, you know, as I go through my day, when I get a minute, when it feels right, when I'm confronted with a need or whatever, then I'm going to pray. And those are all good things to do, but we need to be intentional. We need to be intentional. It's not going to happen by accident. So I encourage you to make a habit, a deliberate habit, an intentional habit. What does that mean? Well, you got to decide what that's going to be for you. I'll tell you one thing that works for me, and I've heard it works so well for other people, and this isn't the main time, but if you can get into the habit that as soon as you wake up in the morning, even before you get out of bed, the first thing you do is say, God, thank you for the sleep I got last night. Hopefully it's thank you, God, for the good sleep I got last night. It may just be, thank you, God, for the 5 minutes sleep I got. Whatever it is, but Lord, thank you. Here it is. It's a new day. And you know, as best as you can, start your day with God. And can I tell you that it's great to end the day the same way? As you head off to bed, I'm not saying you got to pray for an hour before you can get out of bed and go to the bathroom. Most of us couldn't do that. And I'm not saying you need to pray for an hour at night after you lay down, but I'm just saying to develop these little habits, intentional, deliberate. But at night, when we lay down to sleep, I don't know how healthy it is, but when I lay down to sleep, that's a time for me to relax. And a lot of times I'll read for 15, 20 minutes or until my eyes give up on me. But before I do that, I pray. I said, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that I'm facing a night where hopefully I'll get a good night's sleep and you know, just thankful for all the things that happened during the day. But can I tell you that those are great habits, but don't let it go just at that. Because if you just pray for a minute in the morning and pray for a minute in the evening, that's better than if you haven't been praying at all. But you need to have that time you spend with the Father. And can I tell you that the best way to go about doing that is to make it go hand in hand with the time that you spend in God's Word. Because the time you spend in God's Word will impact your prayers, and your prayers will impact your time in God's Word and hearing His voice. We'll talk more about that yet this morning as we go through this. But to have some time. When should that time be? I'll get to that in a few minutes. But you need, we need. I'm not preaching to you. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you, if you really want to be Christ-like, if you really want to have the best relationship you can have with God our Father, you need to spend time with the Father. Just like any human relationship. If you want to have the best relationship possible with that other person, your spouse, a child, a parent, a grandparent, a grandchild, a friend, you've got to spend time together. So time with the Father should be a deliberate habit. It also should be, number two, a prioritized habit. In other words, it needs to be a priority. It needs to be important. You know, different habits that we have different levels of importance, right? When we brush our teeth, if we brush our teeth, I hope you brush your teeth, because that's an important habit if you want to keep your teeth. All right. So, but it's got a certain level of importance. There are other things that are important habits. We learned a lot about important health habits in the last year and a half. The importance of washing our hands and a number of other things that we were impacted with because of COVID. And there's all different kinds of habits that we have. Some are more important than others. But we see that in Jesus' life, this habit of spending time with God was more important than almost anything else. It was more important to him than sleep. That's a little bit different thing, but we find that doing God's will and carrying out his plan was more important to him than eating. We saw that with the story of the woman at the well. But we see that as much as Jesus needed rest, and he got rest, that wasn't the most important thing in his life. Even in the midst of the unending demands of busy ministry, the crowds and the disciples, none of that could keep him from spending time with his Father. You know, I think the biggest reason, it's really an excuse, that most of us, and I say us, deliberately, use about not praying as we believe we should, is that I'm so busy, I just don't have time. But can I tell you, you always make time for the things that are most important to you. You do. Every single one of us, we make time for the things that are most important to us. I think what we need is for God to help us shift maybe our thinking and our attitudes, that this time spent with him is so important. I can't do without it. It's more important. So what suggestion would I give to you on this? Well, pray at a specific time. I already mentioned, you know, waking up in the morning, praying is a great thing. Praying before you go to sleep, that's just little side things, okay? But pray at a specific time. And you may have a schedule such that you can set what that time is for every day. And if you can, that's great. Maybe your life, your schedule, whether it's work or school or whatever it is, it's so regimented that you know that every day at such and such a time. And if your life is so unregimented, it's just every day is kind of different. It's crazy. It's, you know, I can think of like people like realtors, and we have a couple of them and others. Your life, every day is different, you know. And if you're involved in a lot of different things, then you may need to do like many of the biblical writers and people did and just say, okay, well, I'm just going to make sure that it's the first thing I do every morning. Now, you'll have people that will preach and say, you have to seek God first thing every morning. That's a great time to seek God if you can do that. I'm not against that. In their culture, that's when the day started. It worked great for them. But can I tell you, some people, first thing in the morning, it's not the best time. I discovered that myself. I've told this story before, but it's been a while, that when I went to Bible college, I'm going to Bible college to become a minister, and I was already a Christian, and I already had a good relationship with God and growing in him and all that. And I thought, man, I'm preparing for ministry. I want everything to start out exactly right. And I've heard that great godly men and women, they get up early, early, early in the morning and spend at least an hour with God. And so I determined, starting Bible college right at the very beginning, I'm going to do that. Now, I also got a job, and I was working in the cafeteria, and I worked breakfast time, so I had to be at work early, early, early in the morning. So I said, I'm getting up at 5 o'clock. And in our dorms, we had a prayer room down at the end of the hall, and so I got up that first day, and I went down to the end of the hall to the prayer room at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I immediately began to intercede with God, and that hour went so fast because I fell asleep. So I thought, well, you know, I'm just getting started. I'll try it again tomorrow. The same thing happened the next day. And you know what I discovered? Again, working in the cafeteria, I didn't work all three meals, but a couple meals a day. I discovered that in the evening, as soon as I got off work, working in the cafeteria, part of the dish crew, after the evening meal, before I'd launch into whatever work I still had to do that day, that was the best time for me. And I'd go down to the prayer room, and I'd spend time with God. I'd spend time with my Father. It was great because I'd already done all my work. I'd been on my classes. I did some things in the afternoon. And I knew I had homework to do yet, but I still had the rest of the evening. But I had that time. And at that time, I was wide awake. You need to find the best time for you to spend that time with the Father. And can I tell you that as much as you can to make it your best time, the better you will benefit from it. Pray at a specific time. Maybe you need to say, I'm going to do this before I do something else. There's something else I want to do. There's something else I need to do. There's something else that I enjoy doing. But you know that if you get caught up in that something else, your time might get frittered away, whether it's watching TV or playing video games or working in the garden or whatever it is. You might say, you know what, that's important to me, but spending time with my Father is more important. I know there's a time in my life, I love to read, I've shared that before too, I love to read. There's a time in my life that when I got free time, I just wanted to read, and that's not a bad thing. Of course, it depends on what you're reading, but anyway. But at one time in my life, I found that my time with God was suffering because I loved to read so much, I would do it every spare moment and all that kind of stuff. And I finally had to set a rule in my life, at least for that period of my life, that I would not read anything for pleasure until I've had my time with God. Because I would say, oh, I'm just going to read for 5 or 10 minutes because that chapter was so good. And then I'm going to stop, spend my time with God, and then I'll go back to it. And I would read another chapter and another little bit, another little, and it was squeezing my time out. So you may need to do something similar. You know, you need to set some kind of boundaries, some kind of guidelines in place. But make it a prioritized habit. The third one is this. Our time with the Father should be a regular habit. A regular habit. In other words, it's an ongoing thing. It's a continuous. It isn't like, man, I'm going to do it really, really good on Sunday because it's church day. I'm going to get up and read my Bible before I'm going to be really spiritual. I'm going to get up in the morning on Sunday morning and read my Bible and spend time in prayer and then come to church. And that's a great piece of advice. Boy, wouldn't you be ready for the presence and power of God. And I'm going to do it. And then the whole rest of the week, don't do anything. It needs to be a regular habit. The second passage we looked at today in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it said that Jesus would withdraw and pray. And when you look at the original languages, the way that that is worded in the Greek, because Greek has a lot more nuance and way of expressing things, it's indicating a continual practice. It means that he was regularly withdrawing and praying. It says he would. It means he would do this regularly. He would do it constantly. He would do it consistently. It was a regular habit. Paul exhorts us in Colossians 4:2 to do the same. Continue steadfastly in prayer. And so what practical advice would I give? Well, one is just a little bit of a repetition of what I already said. Develop a regular prayer time. Choose that best time, that time when you're most awake, when you're most alert, and choose the best place. Decide to do it. Then do it. Be consistent. Don't give up. And if you miss a day, don't say, I forgot. I didn't get to today. It's not worth doing. You know, if you forget to eat a meal, any of you ever forgotten to eat a meal? If you didn't get a chance to eat a meal, just say, I didn't get to eat a meal. I think I'll just give up eating. We don't do that, do we? Oh, man, I missed a night's sleep. Life is crazy. I think I'll just stop sleeping altogether. No. For things that are important, you miss it, you want to make sure you get it right the next time, right? Time with the Father should be the same way. Be consistent. Don't give up. You miss a day. Come back the next day and say, God, I'm sorry I missed it yesterday, but here I am. Looking forward to spending time with you. And can I tell you, start where you are and grow. This is so important. Because sometimes we as Christians will read a book or hear a sermon, watch a video about some great man or woman of God who spent 3 hours a day in prayer, and we already give up because I can't do that, so I'm not even going to try. Can I tell you, first of all, my opinion, and the Bible is silent on this, so whatever. My opinion is that for someone who prays 3 hours a day, that that is probably a particular calling and ministry that they have. And we need to be open to that. But I think for most people, it's going to be less than that. But sometimes if we've not been in the habit, it's like, oh, I don't, man, to try to squeeze in a whole even half hour. Can I tell you, start small. Start small. I think that as you start small and you get into it, you'll be surprised at how quickly it's like, I need more time. I need more time. I need more time. And you're going to be wanting it, and you're going to be making room for it, and you're going to be planning for it. Start where you are and see how it grows. Now, again, that regular prayer time is so important, but I want to encourage you to get into the habit also of just having conversations with God throughout the day, just like you do with anybody else you're in relationship with. If you're with them, you sometimes just sit and you're driving along and sometimes you have a conversation, maybe you don't, but the people you're with, you have conversations with off and on throughout the day. And even people you're not with, you know, those of you that are really into texting and stuff like that, you have conversations throughout the day. Get in the habit of doing that with God. I think that's part of what Paul meant when he encouraged us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that you got to go around mumbling under your breath all day long trying to talk to God while you're doing everything else. It just means may your relationship with God be so significant that as you go through the day, you're constantly aware that He is with you, and that's a good thing. It's not a judgment thing, like He's looking over my shoulder to zap me when I do something wrong. It's me and God, we're in this together, and we have communication. She's driving down the road. I know this was mentioned several times before. You know, you pass an emergency vehicle with the lights flashing. Pray for whoever they're going to go help, you know. You're driving down the road or going through any other event or activity in your life and something comes to mind, somebody comes to mind, and you pray for them, you know. Get used to that. Have conversations with God throughout the day. The fourth thing, say, how many are there? That's five, just so you know. Fourth one. This habit of time spent with the Father should be a solitary habit. Now, please understand, taking time to pray with other people is significantly important. In fact, I'm going to talk about that a little bit more before we get done this morning in just a little bit. But that should never be a substitute for time that we spend alone with God. We need to pray with our spouse, with our family. We need to come together in groups like the ladies do on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. This is a shameless commercial. The ladies do Tuesday at 10 o'clock and the men do Thursday at 9:30 over in the other building. Love to see you there. And other times of prayer, once a month when we have the worship and prayer meeting on a Sunday night, and other times that are announced and planned for, praying together, when we pray together in the service, it's all very significant and it's very biblical. But that can't, it shouldn't take the place of our own walk with God, our own time with God. Both of the passages we read this morning, Mark 1:35, Luke 5:16, says that Jesus would go out or withdraw and go to a desolate place or desolate places. In other words, He would go again, not to some negative place, not some, oh, He's going to suffer, but some place where He could have that time alone. And sometimes it was even with other people close to Him. It was more of a metaphorical thing than it was a physical thing. I mean, for Jesus, it was a physical thing. But I read a passage. I never, ever noticed this before. But in studying for this message, I came across a place. I didn't put it in the PowerPoint. But in Luke 9:18, it talks about how Jesus was praying alone, but His disciples were with Him. How can Jesus pray alone with His disciples? Him. And you read the context, and what you find out is that Jesus and the disciples went somewhere. They were together, but that Jesus just kind of separated Himself. The disciples were close, but yet He got to where He could be alone. He might have even seen the disciples. Maybe the disciples could see Him, but it was still just Him and the Father. And we see something similar in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, it says He took the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked Peter, James, and John to go a little bit further with Him. And then He left them where they were, and He went a little bit further still. They're all in the garden. It's potentially possible that they could see Jesus and Jesus could see them, but yet He was separated so that He could spend that time with the Father. So in the same way, we need to have that time, that solitary habit. That teaching I told you about that Jesus gives in Matthew 6. In verse 6, He says, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Literally, if you can find a room where you can go and be alone, that's great. But the principle is the same. Find some place you can be alone. It may be out in your car on your work break. I mean, there's any number of possibilities, place, time, where other people are not going to interrupt you and you can spend that time with the Father. And then the last point is this time with the Father should be a relational habit. What do I mean by that? It's a relationship. This isn't some kind of religious ritual. It shouldn't be anyway. For some, it becomes one. It's not just a tradition. It's a great tradition. It's not some kind of mantra. You got to make sure you repeat the right phrases. You got to say the Lord's Prayer through at least once, maybe twice or three times for it to be official. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship. The recorded prayers of Jesus are very personal. Most of the time, He starts off by saying, "Father." He refers to God as, and He teaches us to pray, "Our Father." And let me just say, I am not anti the what's called the Lord's Prayer, okay? It's how Jesus taught to pray. And I'm not even against praying the Lord's Prayer word for word. But if we do it without thinking, just saying the words because they're so familiar and we've got them memorized, there's a problem. I personally believe that Jesus gave what we have in what's called the Lord's Prayer is kind of an outline for what our prayers should look like and the various topics we need to talk to God about and all that kind of thing, okay? But there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying it word for word. Just make sure that if you do, you're thinking about it, you're meaning it, you're focused on it, that this is what you're really wanting to communicate to God. That you're not just saying, Our Father, who art, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, and you keep on going because that's what you've memorized, but it's like, God, I really want your name, your character to be holy in this world, which means I need it to be holy in my life. And there's a lot of ways you can pray through the Lord's Prayer and really apply it, and it becomes very powerful, but it's not a ritual. It's not just a tradition. In fact, I can tell you from experience as a pastor, especially praying in public, it gets so easy to say the same things and just let prayers rattle off your tongue without even really totally thinking about it. Something I battle all the time, and maybe it's true for some of you, especially those of you that have known the Lord for quite a while. And Jesus warns us about that in Matthew chapter 6, that teaching on prayer. In verse 7, he says, And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. When we pray, make sure you're not heaping up empty phrases. Saying things that just come to mind, things that you've memorized, things that you've heard without really thinking about it. Realize you are in relationship with your Heavenly Father. And it's a time to communicate. Can I tell you, we just take it for granted so much, but it's such a privilege to be able to come to God in prayer. We can come into God's presence anytime. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, Scripture includes a lot of instructions on us to pray for help and strength and wisdom and direction and power. But we need to be sure that we take that time with the Father just for that relationship, just for that growth. Let me give you a couple more pieces of practical advice before I wrap this all up. First of all, develop a balanced prayer time. What do I mean by that? Don't just come to God when you need something. I mean, how do you feel toward people that the only time they come to you is when they need something? And that may be a spouse, that may be a child, that may be a parent, that may be some other, a coworker, whatever, but that's not a close relationship. You can come to God with whatever you need. He invites us to. He challenges us to. But don't just come to God when you need something. Develop a balanced prayer time, a time that includes worship and praise and thanksgiving for what's done, who He is. A time for confession like we did during communion, of cleansing, of dealing with the issues in your life, bringing your requests, and not just for yourself, but for others. And not just talking, but listening. That's why I said putting it together with God's Word is so important. I love to pray through God's Word. Whatever I'm reading that day for part of my what we call devotions, you know, my time with God, as I read through it, as soon as something strikes me, I stop and I pray about it. You know, whether it's an example or whether it's an instruction, whether it's an encouragement, whether it's a rebuke. A lot of times I'll start my time with God and say, God, here I am. I'm ready to meet with you. I'm going to look at your word. I'm going to pray. I want you to, I ask that you encourage me and strengthen me and rebuke me and correct me, whatever needs to be done in my life. And I go into his word, and as it speaks to me, I stop and I pray. And so, anyway, don't just talk, but listen. Can I also challenge you to pray for what God wants for you, not just what you want for yourself? You've heard me before if this is your church home. And I'll say something like, and I say it often, but I make sure, try to make it, it's not just a ritual, but Lord, you know, we know what we want you to do. But you're our Father and you know what's best for us. So God, you do what's best for us before you do what we ask you to do, what we want you to do. How can we know what God wants? Again, the key is God's Word, because God's Word is very clear in so many ways what He wants for us. As we work our way through, we can say, oh God, I don't see that in my life, and that's what you want for me? Then Lord, change me, work in me, help me. I mentioned before, pray for others and not just yourself. One way to break the habit of just praying for ourselves is whenever you're praying for something for yourself, think of some other person or persons that has the same need and pray for them too. When you hear about a need, pray for it immediately. When someone says, listen, would you please pray for me or pray with me about this thing? Pray for them. Don't just say, I'll pray for you, and then later you've totally forgotten about it. In fact, what I recommend is stop and pray for them right now. It had nothing to do with the sermon today, but this morning I prayed with two or three people in the lobby as they were coming in, and we were talking, and they were saying, hey, my brother this, or this person that, or, you know, I'm having trouble walking today. And it's like, you know, let me pray for you right now. It's one of the, and can I tell you that way? Say, I'm going to pray for you. If you pray for them right now, you've kept your word. And they say, well, would you keep praying for me? Make that part of your prayer. Lord, I'm praying for them right now, and I pray that you would remind me later down the road to keep praying for them. Then it's on God to remind you. Now, if it's really important, go ahead and write it down, okay? But I'm just saying. Pray for your family, your friends, your church family, the missionaries, co-workers, the people you go to school with, the strangers. You may or may not have ever noticed that in the bulletin, one whole page is made up of prayer requests. We got two missionaries that we focus on every single week. They're always rotating. We got churches in our community that we're praying for. There's the list of the prayer needs as best we know them and get them in the bulletin. The week's birthdays and anniversaries that we know of are there. Those are great things to pray about. A couple more here. Men, specifically. Men, I challenge you. I challenge you to be the spiritual leaders of your home. And part of that is being a man of prayer. And not just, well, I went into my closet, I went away and I did my, but you pray with and for your family. And that is not easy. It doesn't seem macho. It doesn't seem masculine. I have confessed before and I have no shame in confessing it, but I am sorry that it's true that there were for years and years when we were first married and we had a young family and we were in ministry and I would not pray together with my wife. We'd pray over meals. I'd pray with the girls before they go to sleep. But to actually sit down with my wife and say, honey, let's pray together. I don't know why. And I just determined that's not going to stay that way. We're going to pray together. So we started, and we still do. Every morning, unless it slips by us or we've got a weird schedule, before I walk out the door, we get together and we pray together. Every night before we fall asleep, we pray together. Not as often as we should, but probably a once a week or so, we say, let's just spend some time together. We're not going to put an ending time on it. We put some music on, and we're just praying together until we feel like we're done. But men, take the leadership in that. Be a man of prayer. Real men pray. Now, I just say the reason I didn't as I should was because I was a coward for whatever reason. I'm not calling you a coward, but if I was, you probably are too. If you won't do it. And then parents and grandparents, pray with your children. Don't just pray for them, pray with them. Start young. But even as teenagers, pray with them about everything because they need to learn that they can pray about everything. Their schoolwork, their relationships, the things that bother them. You might say, but they're going to think I'm strange. They already do. Don't worry about it. I told you my wife and I, we start the day in prayer, we end it in prayer. If you got family at home, do it as a family. You pass their room, pray for them. Just stop for a minute, put the hand on the door or the door frame. Say what God lays on your heart. Make it a habit. There's a lot of great resources on prayer. The primary one is God's Word. But there's so many others. There's a lot of good books on prayer. If you want a recommendation of good books on prayer, I got several I can give to you. We make Right Now Media available to every single person in this church where you can access video Bible studies on all kinds of topics for free on the internet because we pay for it. I went on there yesterday. I looked on Right Now Media. I did a search for prayer. There are 106 specific different video series that are Bible studies on prayer. We have no excuse for not being able to learn more about prayer, to put it into practice. But don't get so caught up studying it, you don't do it. Okay? You kind of defeated your purpose. The focus of the message today has been that we need to develop this time alone with God, this time with God, time with our Father, developing that relationship. And that's not something that we can just settle by concluding the service by having a prayer. God, help us. We're going to do it. Boom, we go out. That's a good thing to do, but then we got to go out and live it. But we're going to conclude our service as we have been. I'm going to invite you to stand, please. I'm going to invite our elders to come, our staff to come. And we will be down here available to pray with you or for you or for anything you're concerned about, maybe other people. We invite you to come during this song as the worship team will lead us in a song. And we'll be glad to pray with you and for you. But I just really encourage you to meditate on what God has said. And however you need to respond, whatever commitments you need to make to Him, whatever decisions, that you do that during this time before you leave this place. And the last thing I'll say is I talked about time with the Father. If you're here today and you don't even have a relationship with the Father, I'm not saying you're a bad person, but you've never surrendered your life to Christ. You've never put your trust in Him as your Savior. We would love to have the opportunity to help you do that if you want to come and talk with one of us and pray with one of us. So let's take that time right now, and I'll come back in just a little while to close in prayer. Amen. How many of you would say with me, wherever you're at, God, I want to grow closer to You, and I know that means spending time with You, so help me to get into that habit. Father God, we just come to You today. We're all in different places in our walk with You and how long we've walked with You and what we do to nurture that relationship. But God, I pray that You would help all of us to draw near to You. Lord, I thank You for the promise of Your word that says, if we draw near to You, You will draw near to us. Father, I pray that we would make this a priority, that we would develop a habit, as difficult as it might be, show us the best time, the best place, the best way, that we spend that time with our Father. Thank You, Lord, that we have that privilege. And that as God, Lord, You can give us Your full attention whenever we meet with You. God, I pray that as we do, that You would help us to sense Your presence, but even when we don't sense Your presence, to know You're there. I pray that You'd help us to hear Your voice, primarily through Your word, but also that still small voice that whispers to our hearts and our minds. I pray, dear God, that we would hear Your instruction, and that we'd experience Your power, and that, Lord, we would just go through our day knowing that everything's right between us and You because we make sure that it is. We deal with the problems as they crop up, knowing You're always with us and You're always going to take care of us. Lord, we thank You for that. As we enter into our world today, use us all this week to be a representative of Jesus Christ. May we become more Christ-like. And because of that, may people see something in us and say, I want what they have. And that maybe they'll ask us about it, but even if they don't, Lord God, we will at the right time and the right place at Your leading share Jesus with them. And Father, we thank You and we praise You for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. God.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marianoaksag.org.